Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player podcast. I'm your host, J215 Forever. Follow your boy on IG, and on my IG page is my podcast page, right? My podcast page would be at Know Your Role Player _ podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast is to download the Anchor app. That's anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer, all right? Now, whether you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, or many, many more, you will get episodes like the one you are currently listening to becomes available. All right. Guys, welcome back. Today is Monday, December 18th. We got a lot to get into. So let's talk about the review tonight. I'll talk about that in a second. So I want to go over tonight's games and I do my picks for tonight. I'll talk about the news and notes in NBA and a couple conversations I want to have with y'all, right? Let's start with tonight's picks, all right? So we got a good slate on tonight. There's been a lot of blowouts in the NBA, but there also been a lot of good games, right? So, recently on Saturday, Keegan Murray exploded for, I think, about 12 threes. Got close to the NBA record, but didn't play the fourth quarter. So shout-outs to him. And shout-outs, I don't know, I think the NBA is in a good space. I always like to hear what the average NBA fan thinks. I think it's in a good space. I thought the tournament was one of the best things for the league. And I just think it's important for the league to remain competitive at all times, you know. Now, I do think it's unfortunate that we have to pay players that are already getting paid to play hard. I thought that's a little weird because there was an effort, a level that they weren't going, that they went. You know, some people say, well, that'll backtrack or injuries, but, dog, this is what they do for a living, man. I think it's fair to ask guys to play a competitive game that they do for a living. I don't think we're asking for much. All right, so let's talk about tonight's games. We got the Rockets and Cavaliers. I like the Rockets to win. Clippers and Pacers, I like the Clippers to win. Bulls and Sixers, love the Sixers tonight. Pistons and Hawks, this will be one of the five games that the Pistons can win. I do like the Hawks, unfortunately. Timberwolves and Heat, this game will be absolutely ugly. I like the Timberwolves. Hornets and Raptors, I love the Raptors in a bounce-back spot tonight. They usually perform well versus the Hornets. Grizzlies and Thunder, OKC at home, ride till the wheels fall off. Mavericks and Nuggets, love Jokic at home. Nets and Jazz, I'm taking the Jazz to upset the Nets. That's my upset pick of the night. Wizards, Kings, the Kings should beat the Wizards by 30. Knicks, Lakers, I'm going to take the Knicks. That's what I'm going to take to win that game, all right? All right, that was pretty good, y'all. Come on now, pretty good, all right? Now, I'll do a recap of those picks on Wednesday. So real quick, I got to talk about some agenda pushing. I believe I said this before the season, but again, that was a little while ago. So let me update and double down. I picked before the season, and I have receipts, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to win MVP. Now, I want to preference that. I don't think he's the best player in the MVP, in the league. But the MVP, to me, was never who's the best player in the league is. To me, the MVP is a narrative award, right? And so it's about the story that your performance and your team performance can tell, right? So here we go. The OKC Thunder are 16-8. Now, I would take Shai a little bit over Anthony Edwards because he's been hurt. There's some other players. By far and away, SGA is the best player in OKC, and he's had tons of game-winning shots, tons of clutch moments, and he's going to keep having them, right? Now, OKC is at a little bit of a crossroad because it appears that, in my humble opinion, when the Oklahoma City drafted Giddey, even though I did come around in his passing, I ultimately thought that he wasn't going to be able to score at a sustainable enough level to be the number two option. Jalen Williams has been fine to me, but there is a guy available. So recently, Mark Stern had talked about Lauri Markkanen, Jordan Clarkson, a lot of guys, John Collins, basically all of Utah's best players are become available, right? And it's just interesting because Lauri Markkanen is available. And if you look at Oklahoma City, right? And I'll get back to SGA in a second. If you look at Oklahoma City, you ask yourself this, right? The Thunder have as many first-round picks as you want. It's reported that 5 first-round picks to get them. Now, that is a lot. And you have to ask yourself, does Sam Presti think that they're a Lauri Markkanen away from winning a championship? Now, I'm going to say no. But I will say Lauri Markkanen and Chet Holmgren is an absolute phenomenal front court. I still love Lu Dort on the wing. I would love to upgrade that number one position, right? And you got the space. You can always find a veteran, find a guy. And to me, right? In my humble opinion, to me, I do think that SGA is ready to compete for a championship. Now, I don't think their organization and the rest of those players are. Now, there's also no pressure. This is their first winning season, and they never made the playoffs before. So I do think that even though Sam Presti can make a move, I don't think he will, because I think he wants to evaluate the current lineup and say, okay, let's see how this team does. Let's see where they come up short. And once they do, if they do come up short, let's make those improvements. So the thing about the marketing trade is it'll be there in the summer. And as much as I would love for the Oklahoma City to do it, I don't think it makes sense for them to do it, right? And I don't make sense. Think it makes sense for them to do it because you got to think about it. They never made the playoffs before. They don't have the pressure, right? There's no pressure. Their only goal was to make the playoffs and they're the number two seed, right? They're at 16-8. And that kind of transfers me to my next conversation. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the game-winning shot. He was already, to me, the MVP, right? Honestly, Joel Embiid is probably playing at a higher level and he's not even playing fourth quarters, right? The Sixers are 18-7. Boston's 20-5. So you got to give Tatum some love in there. And the Bucks, even though as many people were kind of dogging on them, they're 19-7. So they're not doing bad. They actually have one of the best five records in the league, right? So they're 19-7. They're tied with Minnesota for the second best record in the league. So you have to keep things in perspective. But again, to me, and why I said then, and I'm going to say again now, I think SGA will win the MVP is because he's going to consistently hit these game-winning shots. He's going to have the moments, right? So OKC is good, but they're not great. They're good enough to where they'll compete with any team, and the margin of error will be slim. Like, a lot of these games will come down to possessions. Now, I do believe that SGA can win enough of these games to kind of win over the fans. And again, to me, if he finishes second in the Western Conference with the second or third best record, that the award is his. The award is his, right? It's time now. Now, again, other moves will be made, and I talked about earlier, I don't know if OKC has any pressure to make a move. I don't know if they should. I think they are honestly trying to ride this thing out and see what this team gets them, but it's a very interesting conversation. Moving forward to Utah, it's kind of interesting, right? So all the guys on the team become available, and they're all solid guys. But you ask yourself, well, what does Utah want, right? I think Utah wants this young star. I think they like marketing, and marketing's an all-star, but I don't think they think this team's going anywhere. So honestly, I think they're trying to blow it up and everybody is available, but they still want to put a competitive team out. Now, they did that, but I think they want to tank. I think they want to tank and give 2 years of tanking, but they're a type of team where their coach, and I don't think they'll ever be horrible. I don't think they'll ever be like the Detroit Pistons bad, right? I think they'll always win some games. Even if you look at them now, Utah is 9-17. Not great at all, but they're still competitive. They win in games, and they have a winning record at home at 7-5, right? So I would love, me personally, to see Lauri Markkanen on there, but I don't think there's any pressure on there. All right. So a couple of other things I want to talk about. I want to transition to the Sixers. The Sixers have been absolutely dominating, and the biggest thing about the Sixers for me personally as a fan and as an NBA guy is that they're blowing out bad teams. The Sixers never blew out bad teams, right? So it does show like an improvement on the team. I'm going to still say this. The Sixers need another ball handler. I think it's a lot to ask Tyrese Maxey every night to do all the ball handling duties. I think they need a secondary ball handler. I think they need a backup guard. If they don't need a backup guard, I just think they need guard depth on ball handling help. And whoever that might be and wherever that might be, you know, a lot of people talked about Alex Caruso. I think that's a great name. But that needs to get done. So we'll see what happens. All right. I want to briefly talk about the San Antonio Spurs, right? I don't want to talk about them for too long, but I'll say this. I'm not here to question Greg Popovich, and I know he's a Hall of Fame coach, but I got to be 100% honest with you. The Jeremy Sochan thing at point guard is coming to an end, and it should have never started. Now, I understand that they're a bad team, and they're looking to experiment and kind of push guys to the ceiling, right? And this kind of gives me another trade segue. I think Jeremy Sochan is fine, but I think, like, our point guard duties and the fine others, the basketball is a very big job for a young team, and I think you have to have a guy with vision to do it, preferably Josh Giddey. So I'm going to give you a trade scenario. Keldon Johnson to Oklahoma City, Josh Giddey to San Antonio. What this can do is give the San Antonio Spurs a point forward, somebody that can make entry passes and kind of make life easier for Victor Wembanyama as far as getting him the ball. It also, they can play faster and find other guys the ball, and it can also kind of push Josh Giddey to kind of level up his game, you know? He'll have the rock in his hands the most part. They can play fast. And also, Keldon Johnson apparently is available too. Now, I love Keldon Johnson. I think he's an absolute stud. I guess things around the league don't feel the same way as I do, but I think he's really good. I think he's young, and I think he has a ton of upside. I think he can rebound, defend, shoot threes. I think he has everything you want in a young wing player in today's NBA. So I come off a little confused to, like, y'all don't believe in him? But I guess his contract's coming up, and I guess they don't want to extend him, right? So even on Friday, the San Antonio Spurs defeated the Lakers 129-115. I was impressed with Wembanyama, but, like, well, Wembanyama, a number I'm going to look at is his three-point attempts. To me, I understand he's a fine shooter, but there's no way he should have 5 3-point attempts in the first quarter. Like, to me, the biggest thing in him and the Spurs is that, like, yo, y'all get him no easy shots. He always takes the most hard, difficult shots. I hate it. I hate their offense, and I think they do him zero favors, right? And it's two theories involved, right? So the first theory is trial by fire. And with trial by fire, it's like, okay, I'm going to put you out there. And whether it's good or whether it's bad, you will get better because you're going to always get the experience. And right, while we might suffer in the short term, in the long term, you'll get better because you'll have these same scenarios. Okay, you're going to have to find ways to score by yourself because when you get older and you're going to be scoring by yourself, you know, you'll get better teammates, but you got to do the most now. You know, life gets harder at the beginning and it gets easier on the way long. Now, the other thing is, he's as big, and a big, you can get the bigger ball on pick and rolls with a point guard. I talked about Trey Jones a lot. He's been sick recently. He gets some playing time. I guess Greg Popovich doesn't believe in him. I would like Greg Popovich to believe in some point guard. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the Spurs are better than 4-20. They are. If they had a real point guard, they probably can win about 9 or 10 games. Now, here's the other question. Do they want to win 9 or 10 games? You know what's better than Victor Wembanyama? Another young superstar next to him. So that's how I feel about that. Also, I didn't hear that Devin Hassel was available, and he killed the Lakers. He had 36 points. So I thought that was interesting, too. But that's all I wanted to talk about as far as that. Now, a couple of things. I want to say I trust the Houston Rockets coach, and I trust the Houston Rockets. And the reason why I say this is because I got to do a deep dive on the Rockets-Bucks game. And even though the Rockets and Bucks lost, I saw a lot of things I like about the Rockets team. Now, one, Giannis is just way too physical. And I thought, one, Jabari Smith got in a lot of foul trouble. And, you know, I just think it was a bad matchup for Sengun. But I really do like this Rockets team. They're 13-10. I think they scrap hard. So there's a couple of things that happened. So if Ime Udoka does not like somebody, they bench him. And I think it's really hard and frustrating to fans because it's like, I just talked about trial and error, but the other side of trial and error is watch and learn, right? And so with Udoka, it's like, yo, if I don't like what I'm seeing, I'm going to stop it. And what I think he banks on more is you're going to respond and play better, and that's what I'm going to bank on. So to me, I'm with Udoka every step of the way. I'm not with him with the LeBron stuff, you know, call a man his name. But outside of that, as far as basketball, I trust him. And I know a lot of fans give patient, like, you know, trial by fire. You got to let a guy figure it out. I do agree with that. But I also agree if a guy's not playing well and you bench him, I think the next game he's going to come out firing. So I love Jabari Parker tonight versus Cleveland. And I just like this team in general. You know, I think the greatest addition that separates teams like the Rockets and the Pistons was the Pistons went out and got veterans. They got Jeff Green. They got Fred VanVleet. You know, they got talent on their team. They got a coach to hold their team accountable and demand defense first and said, I'll get the offense to come along. And there's so many things that I look at them and say, yo, we can get better at as far as the Pistons, because I don't think the Pistons are as bad as their record implies. But I do believe that, you know, when you lose 18, 19, 20 games in a row, it can break the spirit of your team and it can get close to quitting time, right? And again, Monty Williams, again, this is another transition, I apologize. Monty Williams is a good coach, but I do think some things have to be cleaned up. I think they got to play with more shooting, more pace. Again, tonight versus the Atlanta Hawks is one of the few games that they can win. And again, it's tough for me to see them win without their center. But we'll see what happens, right? All right, a couple other things I want to talk about. So, Mr. Paul George returns to Indiana, right? If you know, Paul George made his name, made his claim to fame, and became a young star. I don't think he ever became a superstar, but that's a different conversation. Actually, he might be a superstar. But he made his makings, he made his bones in the Pacers, right? And I expect him to have a big game. The Clippers are much better. You know, I know we all talked and laughed at James Harden when he first played. He's like, oh, if Harden's fat, they don't care about each other. But yours truly was on here telling y'all, yo, I see some things that can work. You know, to me, sometimes the glass is half empty and sometimes the glass is half full. And to me, with the Clippers, the glass is always half full because it's too much talent. But once the sacrifices got done and guys started to figure out their roles, hashtag know your role player, I liked what I saw. And speaking of role players, so I want to say this and I want to get a deeper, I'll save it. But I'll say this. I do believe that the New Orleans Pelicans have the best role players in the league. I definitely believe that. Now, I don't want to deep dive on that. I'll save that for Wednesday's pod. But I do believe that. And I do want to rank role teams role players, all right? I want to say one other thing. So when it comes about non-basketball topics, if it is, like, if it is basketball related as far as, like, a guy not playing or off the kit or shoot or the Josh Giddey thing, I'm going to talk about it. But as far as rumors and gossip, this is not the podcast for you, right? I don't care about rumors. I don't care about gossip. But again, if it's a Ja Morant or a Ja and it affects them playing, then I 100% talk about it because it is affecting your performance and it aligns with your job. Now, I just don't want to talk about player gossip. So this is not the place to do that. Again, if a guy plays like trash, I'll say it. If a guy plays great, I'll say it. If I'm wrong about a take, I'll say it. But that's just how I feel about that. Yo, so next thing I want to talk about is the New York Knicks. The Knicks have to get another center. Or they have to start Isaiah Hartenstein. Now, they didn't do this thing where they've been starting Jericho Sims. He's okay. But, man, as much as I get on Mitchell Robinson to kind of being like a non-legitimate scorer, they miss him so much. Rebounding, patent defense. Like, man, you don't appreciate something until it's gone. And Mitchell Robinson is much needed on the Knicks. Again, their philosophy defensively is to protect the paint, and the problem is they give up a lot of shots. Well, now you're not protecting the paint, and you're giving up shots. So it's double-dipping, and there's just more pressure on Brunson and Randle to score. Now, credit to Brunson on Friday. He scores 40-something points on Devin Booker, and they win the game. But I just feel like they got to get a defensive center to hold down the fort until my man Mitchell Robinson comes back, because he's not going to be back from 6 to 8 weeks. And that's a long time, right? So we'll see what happens with that. The other matchup I love tonight is the Magic versus the Nuggets. Excuse me. The Mavericks versus the Nuggets. So here's my thing. Luka, oh, man. As much as I love SGA, Luka's probably been, like, he's been better than SGA scoring, shooting-wise. You know, I think SGA's defense is a thing I like to factor into it. But I don't think a lot of voters factor defense into it. But Luka's been absolutely phenomenal. But to me, I don't think Luka's leveled up that much. I thought the team just improves around him, right? And you have to ask yourself a different question is, do we give you an MVP because the team improved? Well, yeah, if the team improves, yeah, you should be considered for it. And he's a candidate every year. But again, to me, Luka, SGA, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, you know, pick your Milwaukee Buck. Those are probably the guys I'm looking at right now for MVP. All right, a couple other things. So Ja Morant, I believe, returns tomorrow. I'm like 90% sure on that, but I'm like pretty certain that Tuesday, let me check it right now. Yeah, the Pelicans play the Grizzlies, and Ja Morant returns tomorrow. So that's going to be absolutely amazing. So, yeah, 25-game suspension. The 25 games is up. Oh, this is a great segue. Memphis is 6-18. The Pelicans are 6-11. I think I'm going to have a mini pod tomorrow. No, I'm not going to have a pod tomorrow. I'm going to have a pod Wednesday. But Memphis is 6-18. So I'm going to say a couple of things. So hot take number one, the Memphis Grizzlies will become 500 again. All right? They're 6-18. Do with that information as you will. But they will become 500 again. And I'm going to go another one. They're going to make the play-in tournament. I'm sorry. The one thing I'll give credit for is that even though they've been losing games, Desmond Bane has leveled up his game. Even in the last couple of games, Jaren Jackson has been more aggressive scoring. Rebounding is what it is, but he's been improving his game. I like Memphis. I still think Memphis is really good, and I think they get a jolt. I think they just level up. Now, again, I don't know about his conditioning. I think he should be in shape. I mean, he's not injured. He just hasn't been playing. So I'm hoping he's in great shape and ready to go, but I don't know how many minutes he's going to play. But I will definitely be watching that, okay? It's a good slate, though. It's a good slate. I'm liking what I'm seeing. Real quick, let's do news and notes before we get out of here. I talked about that. I want to talk about an NBA player's leaving. So real quick, DeMarcus Cousins, ex-NBA player, signs with the Taiwan team. And I want to talk about that because there's a lot of, like, internet rhetoric about, like, a former NBA player going to China. Kemba Walker, other guys. Listen, guys play basketball for a living. That is their job. That's what they're good at. Even if, unfortunately, you can't get a job in the NBA is the highest league. There are hundreds of leagues below that. So you can probably continue to play basketball for a long time. A lot of those guys overseas, they play like 25 years of basketball because they can play for their country, their national team. They can play for a team in their country. There's a lot of overseas teams that can use talent. And even though DeMarcus Cousins was sapped of a lot of athleticism once he tore his Achilles in ACL, he can still play at some level, right? And so I think people could be a little bit more respectful of just a guy just that wants to play, you know, because like I said, I know it's tough. He's an interesting career because it's kind of like underachiever, kind of a little bit of a wild case and kind of peaked offensively. And then at the peak of his career, right before he gets a major contract, he hurts his knee. So that's pretty tough, right? But I just want to say people could be a little bit more gentle. So Steph Curry, unfortunately, finally ends his streak of hitting one three-pointer at 268 games. He played an absolute doozy yesterday, albeit he really didn't play well. Finished with like 8 points. 0 for 8 from the three-point line and 2 for 12 from the field. With 7 points. All right, he did win the game, and Klay Thompson has been playing better. But real quick with the Warriors, and I want to get back to Draymond, and this will be my final conversation. The Warriors will not trade Draymond Green because I think Steph Curry is the number one reason why Draymond Green is still on the Warriors, right? If you ask yourself about the Warriors and, you know, what does he bring, he helps Steph. The chemistry between Steph and Draymond is one of the best two-man chemistries in the history of the NBA. On defense, he can protect Steph, and on offense, he just knows the things Steph likes to do, and they play off of each other, right? Now, as much as talented as Jordan Poole is, Jordan Poole needs structure, and even though you see him now, we'll have these moments, there's just not structure in Washington. So there's not structure in a guy that can kind of become oblivious and it can kind of range between good and horrible. Well, he's going to be bad more times than good because there's not accountability and enough discipline to play well. Hey, yo, stop making poor passes. Yo, be a little bit more focused. Yo, let's do the screen and roll the right way. Yo, stay focused. Stay locked in timeouts. All those things that were required by Golden State that he had to do at a higher level, they're at a much lower level. And I even heard him a couple of times talking about, this is my team. Listen, that's more like an ego stroke, right? Anything can be your team, but it's about the actions behind it, man. And I'm going to continue to monitor and continue to talk about Jordan Poole because I'm going to be honest with y'all. I got Jordan Poole stock. I had it since it came on the scene. I'm never selling it, but it is absolutely doing horrible right now. But I believe in Jordan Poole. I don't believe in the Wizards, so do with that information as you like. But, you know, I just think he can play better, you know. Even though the Wizards are bad, I think him and Kuzma, I don't think the Wizards are that bar. I think they just need to play some defense. In my dream scenario, if I'm being honest with y'all, Russell Westbrook returns back to the Wizards. They become like 500-ish. Westbrook gets the glory back. He gets to do whatever he wants. Kuzma's hooping. Poole's hooping. And they're like a 7th and 8th seed. Now, it doesn't make any sense because that doesn't lead to a championship. But, I don't know. Washington's moving soon, so maybe they can need to sell some tickets or something. But that's what I would personally do. That's just me. All right, we're going to wrap it up right there. And we're going to come back on Wednesday. As always, please like, share, and subscribe. Tell one friend to tell another friend to tell another friend. Hashtag know your role player. That's KNOWYAROLEPLAYER. I'll talk to y'all Wednesday. Y'all be safe. Happy holidays. Stay blessed. Peace.